So we're going to try today to wrap up Hachzara, and once we reach the point of no return of that, we'll move on to Hatmana. So we ended up discussing last time the use of hot plates on Shabbos and the permissibility, according to some poskim, of Nisin Mechadash on a hot plate, given that there's no concern if it's non-adjustable, no concern with Shamichata, and no concern of Matzi Kebabashel, at least on the American scene. What about use of a warming drawer? Apparently, new ovens generally come with warming drawers. How many people have warming drawers at on their ovens at home? Really, that's it? Okay, so maybe not all new ovens. Our oven's probably about 20 years old. Baruch Hashem, B'Yayim Hara, still working. But I don't know, my impression was that most new ovens come with warming drawers, at least if you want them. So if you have a warming drawer that has an adjustable temperature, meaning you can adjust the temperature, would there be a heter of Nisina Mechadash? So Rabbi Willig's analysis is that you don't have to worry about Mesik and Mevashel, because a warming drawer, Kishmo Kainu, is meant for warming and not for cooking. No one would cook in a warming drawer. Is that true, Justin? Anyone? You have a warming drawer?
Yeah.
Do you ever cook in it?
No.
Okay. There we go. Scientific study. No one cooks in a warming drawer. So we wouldn't be worried about Mesik and Mevashel, but maybe we're worried about Shemichata if it has a knob and you could adjust the setting. So if that's the case, you'd have to be coating. How are you coating a warming drawer? Not so simple. So standard covering the drawer, like with a bluff equivalent, probably isn't practical. So then the question is, what about use of a toach batit type of a situation? We discussed in the context of Shehiya that there's a notion of toach batit, and maybe if you create a situation where it'll be hard to adjust anything, you remove the knobs or use a lot of tape. Maybe that's equivalent of toach batit, but that the Gemara introduces in the context of Shehiya. Is there an equivalent toach batit in the context of Hachzara? So I was talking to Rabbi Rablowski on the radio this morning today. He pointed out the toach batit of Chazal wouldn't make sense to even talk about it in terms of Hachzara, because it means you're closing the oven tightly shut. So it's not, you can't do Hachzara in an oven that's really toach batit in the classic sense, because you can't get into it. But our toach batit equivalent, if removing knobs or covering with tape would be toach batit, so then maybe you should have to talk about it in terms of Hachzara, even though that wasn't the intent of the toach batit of Chazal. So the Rosh Hashanah points out, you don't find in poskim any clear discussion as to whether, theoretically, there'd be a heter of toach batit when it comes to Hachzara. And he thinks maybe that should be tolerated on whether Hachzara, the Isser Hachzara, is Mechzikim Mevashel driven, or whether it's Shemichata driven. If it's Shemichata driven, then just like toach batit solves the Shemichata problem for Shehiya, it should solve the Shemichata problem for Hachzara. If we're worried about Mefsik and Mevashel, toach batit doesn't necessarily solve a Mefsik and Mevashel problem, so maybe then it wouldn't apply to Hachzara. His bottom line is, he thinks the Maisi should be Machmir, absent the clear right to the contrary, not to rely on toach batit in the context of Hachzara. Rabbi Willig, however, points out, Yasher?
Why not? Like, in the warming drawer, why not?
Why not what?
The analysis that Rabbi just presented,
mm-hmm.
that Nasi is not applicable.
Ah, good. So you're Mechavit to Rabbi Willig, sorry. Very good. So, I have to give me a chance to say.
Sorry.
Good. So Rabbi Willig pointed out, even if all that's true, based on our analysis, the reason that we wouldn't be comfortable relying on Toach Batit when it comes to Achzar and the Sinai Mechadash is because it doesn't solve the Mefsik of a Vashel problem. But if we're talking about something like a warming drawer where there is a Mefsik of a Vashel, then you should be fine. The only thing you'd be worried about in an adjustable warming drawer is Shemichata. Shemichata could be solved through Toach Batit. Mefzik Mevashel doesn't exist. So even if Tach Batit doesn't help for Mefzik Mevashel, we're not worried about Mefzik Mevashel. Therefore, if you remove the knob, or if you cover the knob with significant amount of tape, not just a small piece of tape, but a significant glob of tape, then that would arguably accomplish Tach Batit. And based on this analysis, would be matir Nesina Mekadosh into a warming drawer. Rav Schechter doesn't think that's correct. As quoted in the article in the OU that we referenced last time, he thinks that if you have an adjustable hot plate, adjustable warming drawer, then there's no hazard in Sinu Mikadosh, and Toch Batit is not going to be operative. The Star K website also does not allow use of warming drawers, period. Okay. There is a Chazon Ish in Siman Lamed Tes Os Beis who addresses whether it would be permissible to use a Shabbos clock, a timer, to turn on an electric range, or to turn on, he's not talking about a hot plate, but a hot plate on Shabbos, and place a pot, replace something that isn't subject to Isser Bishul, onto that surface before the timer goes on. So the Chazon Ish thinks that doing so would potentially run into both a Shehiya problem and a Hafzara problem, meaning a Nesina Mechadish problem. Meaning that in terms of Hilchot Shehiya, if you place something on a range that's not on, it's going to be ignited later, so then that's a Shehiya problem. And to do Nesina Mechadish on such a range that is only ignited later, that's Nesina Mechadosh. So if we're talking about Shehiya would be obviated if you have Garva Kotev. So if you're Garva Kotev and you have the Shabbos clock set up, that could solve a Shehiya problem, but Garva Kotev doesn't help for Nesina Mechadosh. So the Chazon Ish would say, if you put it there before Shabbos began, and it's Garva Kotev, so then Al Shehiya will be okay. But there's no heter using a timer for Nesina Mechadosh. Yeah.
Why is it Shehiya if the fire isn't on in Shabbos?
Because the way the Chazon Ish sees it, the whole system of having something on a flame, even if the flame's going on later, is still a Chisar of Shehiya. The way he says it, the situation, if you're creating a situation where you have a pot that is left over flame, that's asur. And even if you put it there, you have to remove it. The kol shenim says hakeder b'shabbos the oven shasur chachamim mishum shami echad aser. Anytime you have a situation where the pot is now on a surface that is subject to shami echada, doesn't make a difference how it got there. That's a matzav of shehiya, which is aser. The ena iser tali b'maisa hamadish lakedera. It doesn't have to do with when you put it there, but when you put it there, there's no flame. Al b'mitzias hakeder al akir b'shabbos. So if you have that mitzvah sakedera al kibbutz Shabbos, that would potentially be a shehiya chisara. Okay.
It's still only usher if it's not garva katam and the food is not machmer right?
Or for machmer, it has to be nisvash klasarcha for shehiya if it's not garva katam. Correct. Rabbi Eider, in page 322, quotes from Moshe. There, Moshe disagreed with the Chazon Ish's analysis of shehiya here, that Rav Moshe said, like Yonatan, that you can't have Shehiya unless there's a fire when you place the pot on the flame. If you're placing a pot in a place where there's going to be a flame later, you can't call that shehiyah. However, Rav Moshe, for other reasons, is against the use of timers b'chlal on Shabbos. That's printed in Chelek Daled, Sim and Samech. That's more of a Zilzal Shabbos consideration as opposed to a more localized consideration. Rav Moshe, in general, is against the use of timers under most circumstances. So for that reason, Rav Moshe would oppose use of a timer here, but not because of a local shehiyah consideration. And Rabbi Eider quotes Batirim, for those that didn't accept the Chazon Ish and weren't worried about Rav Moshe's more holistic objection to timers, then that would be permissible. So Rabbi Willig would say that if the flame, if not an electric range, but if you have a hot plate where the flame is covered such that there's no Masikim of Ashel, and there's no need for Gar for Katum because there's no Shamiachat, it's not adjustable, then it should be mutter to have it go on a timer and would be mutter v'nesina mechadash.
Okay. That's by what? By a hot plate?
By a non-adjustable hot plate.
Right. I thought we blew matters even when it's already on.
Correct.
So there's no additional cooler with a timer.
There's no additional cooler of a timer. Well, if you're to be machmir like the Chazon Ish, that you would aser nesina mechadash where there's a... Oh, I guess that's true, right. Right, meaning if you're not going to take a remote approach, that if you're not... No, but al shehiyah... You're saying, right, as far as Shia is concerned, if we view that as Gar V'Katum, so then the Shia problem is... Yes, I guess you're correct. Right. Meaning, if you don't assume like Moshe's general objection to timers, then you shouldn't distinguish between... If you're already mad, you're using a non-adjustable hapa, you've seen a Mechadash, the timer would be worse. Rav Schefter thinks the timer is worse because he thinks like Rav Moshe, that you shouldn't be using timers in general, but is he correct that as far as the localized Shia Sara problem, right, so Rav Schefter would say that you are allowed to do Nesina Mechadash on a hot plate, but you shouldn't have a hot plate, a non-adjustable hot plate, you shouldn't have a hot plate on a timer for the more general Claudius objection to using a timer on Shabbos. Okay. Let's talk for a moment about Shabbos mode on ovens, or the new ovens that have originally Star-K endorsed Shabbos mode, and now the OU took over the Shabbos mode. So again, we have an old oven that has no such things, but my impression as to what Shabbos mode accomplishes is that in the new fancy oven, well, some of this is a concern even in old ovens, and maybe more of a concern in new fancy ovens, that let's say you were to leave the oven on before Shabbos and want to, in a permissible shehiyah fashion, either, let's say it's not easily garfa katumable, but in principle you were to assume, let's say it's basha katsarcha, it doesn't have to be garfa katum for shehiyah purposes, or you do talk batit, and then that would be the equivalent of shehiyah. So if you get out of the shehiyah problem, so you want to leave something in an oven before Shabbos begins and remove it Friday night to serve it hot, the concern is that opening up the oven may shift the thermostat and cause either something, the fire to go out, or cause the fire to go on, either which of those would be problematic. Aside from the newer, fancier ovens, and it may also ignite a light, or turn on a light if you open an oven that you can't get around. So what the Shabbos mode accomplishes is, as I understand it, is that it disables that thermostat setting, disables any lights, so that even if you were to leave the oven on for whatever amount of time, that's constant and that's constant and not subject to causing any havara or kibui by opening up the oven. So I would allow you to leave something in the oven before Shabbos begins, open it up, and take it out. I don't recall hearing this directly, but Rabbi Wiederblank told me that Rabbi Willig calls that a Shabbos mode itself is considered tough with it, because to get out of the Shabbos mode requires at least pressing a few buttons. That may be the equivalent to tough with it, would take care of any potential gar for gutter problem. It's not going to be mati or hapsara, because as we said, according to most poskim, toch of our tanurim has a din of toch, where hapsara won't help even if it's gar for katum. So the only potential harvacha would be to allow for shahia and then removing it at some point on Friday night. That's my understanding of what the toelas of these Shabbos modes are. If you have better information, then let me know, Matan.
Yeah, but also for Yom Tov,
once
you start the whole purpose of the
Shabbos,
you could change
it. Yeah, so Yom Tov is a different issue. That's not our topic this year. But somehow the Star K, Rabbi Heinemann and the Cheshbin, of some kind of Grama or Super Grama or combination of different types of Grama in this mode that would allow you to change settings on Yom Tov, which I believe many poskim are not on board with.
Yeah. Big fan right now.
Silver Spring is kind of in the catchment area of Baltimore. So, yeah.
We're saying that Shabbos mode permits Shahia?
Like Shabbos mode would allow you to comfortably remove something from the oven that was put there before Shabbos. Right, meaning it's not that it permits Shahia per se, but Shahia would be irrelevant if you can't open the oven to take out that which you were masha for Shabbos.
What is it, if
it wasn't on Shabbos mode, what would it be? If it wasn't a Shabbos mode and you wanted to keep the oven on, then you couldn't open it up because it may shift the thermostat and either cause the flame to go off or the flame to go on.
That doesn't
have to do with
Shia, that's just a malacha.
That would be a malacha, right.
So Shabbos mode is necessary to avoid...
Right, you could do... Well... The Shabbos mode also would be relevant to allow for Shia if you would say that the Shabbos mode itself is top tough potato equivalent to Gar Fakatim. Otherwise, if it wasn't Nisbash Chatzarcha or for Machmir, if it wasn't Kabachman Nisai or Machmir Lechachilin Nisbash Chatzarcha, then it wouldn't be Matur Shia. Good. Okay. Now, what to do if the Cholin pot boils out sometime before you're ready to eat it on Shabbos?
What's boiling out?
Boiling out means that too much water evaporates and it's going to burn if you don't do something to intervene. Okay. So is there a permissible way of adding water, hot water, to the chalon pot on Shabbos, be it a pot on a bluff, be it a crock pot? So when the Orach HaShabbos presents this, he identifies five potential issues of concern that need to be addressed in figuring out whether there's a permissible way of adding hot water to the drying out shell and pot. So, yeah, keep with our question. So number one, the obvious concern of this show, you have to make sure that you're not putting in water that is cold or that isn't fully hot, water that had cooled off, because that would be a visual or visual concern, so that's obvious, that we're not entertaining. Number two, are we concerned about hagasa? What would the concern about hagasa be? Let's say you want to pour water into the chalon pot that's al ha'esh. Esh is gar v'katav, fine. You want to pour hot water into the pot that's al-ish. So we previously encountered the position of the kolbo that we're choshish for, that even if something is vashik lasarko, then we're worried about a potential chashash bishul daraisa, maybe, even, if you're going to stir the pot. So we didn't quite understand b'shaito what the kolbo is based on. Mishabrua says, I don't understand what the kolbo is based on. The best that we could do, we quoted one suggestion from the Shvisa Shabbos, and maybe we're worried, slightly, there are different variations of this, but the basic idea is maybe we're worried that there may be pockets in that pot, even if fundamentally the pot is Nisbashel Kotzarcho, there may be some pockets that weren't properly Nisbashel or fully Nisbashel. So if you're going to stir the contents, then you may have end up causing dishel on a tiny piece that hadn't yet been fully Nisbashel. Or suggested Rosh Hashanah, the Shabbos quoted, that maybe we're worried, even though it's true that there's no real Cheshash Bishel by Nisbashel Kotzarcho if you're going to be Magus, but if we're going to allow you to stir here, then you may come to stir in other situations where there would be a Cheshash Bishel, and it's kind of a low pluk. Just parenthetically, since we're bringing up Agus again, I saw Rabbi Jachter quoted this in an article that I saw, but there's a piece in Mesorah, Volume Zion, quoting from the Rav, that the Rav had a different suggestion as to the basis of this position of the Kalbo, and that's based on the equation that the Rambam makes in Perek Tes, Halacha Yud Aleph. We saw this Rambam previously. The Rambam writes, HaMechabes Begadim Areyu told us Malabin Mechayev, V'asochid Asbeged Ashiyotzi Yamayim Shavar Reza Mechabes Mechayev, Shehaschita Mitzorchei Kibasi K'mo Shehagasa Mitzorchei Bishol. So squeezing out is considered Mitzorchei Kibas, just as Hagasa is Mitzorchei Habishol. So what's this equation of Hagasa Bishol and Schita Mechabes? So the Rav explained that the Rambam is saying when you squeeze out a beged, so it's true that you're not really doing an act of kibbutz. You're not really laundering the beged by squeezing it out. But squeezing is mitzorchei kibbutz. It's part of the process of kibbutz, and anything that's part of the process of kibbutz may be part of that melacha d'oraisa. And that's the equation to Hagasa. Hagasa in and of itself is not necessarily, not always an act of Bishol, but Hagasa is one of the ingredients in Bishol, one of the components of Bishol. It's Mitzorchei HaBishol. So when it comes to Malacha Shabbos, you're not only Chayiv for the Malacha itself, but you're Chayiv for Tzorchei HaMalacha as well. As the Rambam says in Perek Tes Halacha Dalet, in the case of the different people that do different malachos, different actions contributing to Bishol, uba'achar v'higis, kulam chayavim mishom mevashel, shekola osa davar mitzorchem mevashel, reza mevashel. So that's that formulation, that anything that is mitzorchem mevashel is considered mevashel, and may be a malacha d'oraisa. So even if something is mevashel l'tzarcho, one could argue, at least maybe that's the kalba's coming from, said the Rav, that even if the Agus is not doing Bishol, but it's Mitzorchei Bishol, in order to do Bishol, you need Hagasa, and that's enough to create a Malacha D'oraisa. That's my Rambam Muskar. Yeah.
What was the first Rambam?
First Rambam is Perek Tes Halacha Yud Aleph. Okay, so that was just a side point since we're mentioning Hagasa. So, some posts are concerned that if you're pouring something directly into, let's say you were to take, you're to have your urn situated over the chalon pot, and you wanted to pour directly from the urn into the chalon pot, so maybe the act of pouring water into a pot is a form of hagasa, because if you have a stream coming in, then that creates a certain moving around of contents that would be equivalent to Hagasa. So is this a concern if you wanted to pour water into a Kedera Shal Gavei Ha'esh? Says Rosh HaMazamin, one second, says Rosh HaMazamin, quoted in footnote Mem Vav in Shmira Shabbos. So first he says from Rosh HaMazamin that the Isser Hagasa in a pot that's Nisbashel Kotzarcho is only Hagasa Mamish. But he recommends that you only pour in Benachas. That if you're pouring in vigorously, then maybe that's a concern of Hagasa. If you're pouring in gently, that's not a concern of Hagasa. Then he said, then Rosh Zalman said, maybe not so fast. There's a question about the Girsa and the Kolbo. Does the Kolbo say that the problem is that misarvos? That if you're, that Agasa causes things to mix together. By pouring something in, it's going to mix together and create bishul. Or is it me'arvos? And that's going on the woman or the person doing the act of stirring, not on the effect. So maybe it doesn't make a difference if you do benachas or not. But he says, it's hard to argue, it's hard to think that if you're shofik benachas, that really is hagasa. So now Rosh Hashanah Zalman is meiko, and that's why the Pesach of Shmir Shabbos is that you're allowed to pour benachas from, this is Sif Yuzai, you can pour benachas, cooked water, into the pot on Shabbos, and he's not worried about hagasa. Orach HaShabbos is meiko like that as well, as is Rabbi Karp. Ramosha, Tshuva Kavdalat Rabbi Eider. And Rabbi Eider quotes on page 321 from Aaron Cutler, page 321, that they were Machmir Lechachila not to rely on this, not to pour directly into a pot ala esh, but rather to remove it from the flame and then pour from the urn into the pot while it's no longer on the flame, subject to Tanai Hachzara, and that would obviate any potential concern of Hachzara. So passes Rabbi Riviat that you should be worried about Hagasa, at least Lechachila. So passes Shvus Yitzchak, or so quotes Shvus Yitzchak, page Kuf Tzadiches, the shame Rav El Yashiv. No.
I'm just wondering about the Matzias. Is it sufficient to just pour and not mix? Is that chalent down?
Is it sufficient for purposes of getting rid of the solving the problem of the dried out chalent? Yeah. If you want to mix, you can take it off the flame tonight. Sorry, mix it off the flame.
Part of the
dam,
Achmir, you're allowed to mix it off the flame, so you don't.
Correct.
Even, okay.
Right. The question is, do you have to do that, or do you have to take it off in order to bechlal pour in, or not, as far as hagasa? Okay. That's issue. So issue number one was making sure that the water you're pouring in is hot, there's no problem bishul. Issue number two is hagasa, whether pouring into a kli al gabe esh potentially runs into a hagasa concern as per the chumrah of the kolba. Consideration number three is hachzara / nesina mechadash. So you have to make sure, however you're orchestrating this, that you don't run into a hatsara problem. Concern number four is, if the challenge really dried out, are we worried about bishul achar tzli? Meaning if the challenge really dried out to the point that it's burnt, so maybe that's tzli, and if now you're going to pour water into it, maybe that's bishul achar tzli. So to that, 1 second, Noam, Shmir Shabbos points out in Funuk Memches that anyway, whether we're worried about bishul achar tzli, achar bishul is a shayla as we discussed. That's essentially what this is. It was first cooked, then you're worried it was tzli, and then it was bishul. So since here it's not really even a new act of bishul, it's a hemshech of the original bishul, it just got temporarily dried out, then he thinks that you could be makel to assume that this kind of tzli kedar isn't real tzli, and not to be worried about bishul achar tzli. No.
Okay, so I was going to say, I thought we said most poskim hold that tzli kedar is just...
we did. So, that's exactly good.
Right.
We're just outlining all the potential issues that need to be addressed.
Meaning,
and then, yeah?
Meaning, according to the Shur Shabbos, even, is he saying even according to those who hold that tzli kedar is tzli?
No, he's saying if you hold tzli kedar is tzli, and you're worried about bishal achar tzli achar bishal, then there's what to be machmir about. But he was not concerned about that. And then, number five in the Orchid Shabbos is Basar B'chalav. That if you're going to put the Cholam pot directly under the urn in such a way that it's proximate enough that the Fleishig Zeh is going to rise into the urn, then you may be making your urn Fleishig. That's a physics question, partially. At what distance are we really concerned that you're going to have Yatzeled Esbozea going into the urn? Add that to the list of experiments. Okay, then there's a sixth consideration. The Rosh Hashabbos just lists this as five. And number six he has elsewhere in the chapter, or he may reference it in the footnote. And that, maybe the biggest concern, is the sugya that we haven't yet addressed directly, but now's the time, of Pina Mimecham Lemecham. You'll recall that in the Gemara, excuse me, on Lamed Chesed Beis, that discussed the various shitos, possibilities, concerns of Tanai Hachzara, that the Gemara ended with a couple Ibaidel Ifshitas. What's the din of Talan B'Makel? What's the din of Yinich Magabi Mita? And what's the din of Pina Mimecham Lemecham? So we address the first two. We didn't really focus on Pina Mimecham Lemecham yet. So what is the concern over there? Sounds like there's a Hafzara problem, that if you're going to pour from one kettle into another kettle, there's a Hafzara concern. What's the Hafzara concern? The Rashi writes, Pina Mimecham Lemecham Mahu, Mihave Kimat Min Lechachila, the Asir Lachzira and Lakira, oh, look. So Rashi seems to express that if you pour something from one kedera to another kedera, and then you want to put the new kedera back on a flame, maybe that's the equivalent of Hanacha in an interim, maybe that would be a Bala Shehi or Rishona situation. That becomes an Asinah Mechadash if you're going to then put it back on a flame, because moving Mimecham Lemecham created some kind of a hefsek. Tosos, here the Maskal Pina Mimecham Lemecham, expresses that the concern of the Gemara is in a case where it cooled off. That the problem isn't in the Hazara per se of a Balashi Rishona, but we're concerned about Shem Yichat Dafka, where it cools off in the interim. So even if it's Nesvajikot Tzarka, and we're not worried about Bishol, but maybe we're worried about Shem Yichat, where it cools off. So it's not the Pina Mimecham Lemecham per se, according to Tosfos. It's not the act of moving it from one kli to another itself. It's that often, if you do that, it'll cool off, and then we're worried about a more intense Shem Yichat if it cools off in the interim. The Ran, Dav Yitzayin Amidbeis Bedate Harif. Yitzayin Amidbeis Bedate Harif. Dibur Maskel Boy Rav Ashi. So Ran is two Lashonos. Lashon number one is that maybe there's more of a messy kimavashal consideration if you put it into a second kli. Lashon number two, inami hacha perusho dekami bayilan pina mimecham lemecham ahu lehaksi lemecham rishon ulaksi al gabi kira miyavi keiniko gabi karkolo. The whole concern is that if you move it from mecham one to mecham two, and now you want to move the contents back to mecham one and put it back on the kira, maybe that's like anachal gabi karka in the interim. So the only concern is that if you move it to kli 2, and then you want to put it back to kli 1, the fact that you put it into Kli Tu in the interim, maybe that creates a kind of Nesina Agave Karka, which would stop the clock on permitting Hapsar. Fine. So how do we paskid on Pina Vimechon Lechem? It's not so clear what the Tzir is. The Magen Avraham writes, Sivkat and Kaf, this is on where the Ramah says that you need Oda Biyado is one of the Tanai Yasara. Says the Magen Avraham, have they still say Sfir Lei Dafka Kishinich Agave Karkasar? So the Mechaber has a very limited playbook for Hatzara. As long as it's not in Yikol Gabi Karka, you're fine. So the Mechaber would say that all the other Ibaidl Ishtas and Gemara, all the other Tekus, were Mechalan. Mita is fine. Taliba Makal is fine. Pina Mechal Mechal is fine. That the only, as long as it's not in Yikol Gabi Karka, nothing else concerns us. Aval Ramah disfir leidu kol elu aser davaleke Moshe b'Shabbos lechachila. But the Ramah requires other biyados. The Ramah's machmir on those shabbos in the Gemara. So presumably he doesn't mention it explicitly one way or another. But the Magen Avraham says presumably the Ramah's machmir on pina b'mechem l'mechem as well. If you need other biyado, that's to the exclusion of all the other ibay d'la'ishtas in the Gemara, which are echisaren of not being other biyado. The Magen Avraham says the Ramah is machmir by omission, by implication, on pina v'mechem l'mechem. Just as we're machmir to require the maximum combination of all tana'e haksar. And Ramosha writes in Chei Lebei Simen Samachtes, that's how Ramosha assumes it sounds like Lalacha. However, curiously, Mishavrua in Sharetzion Sivkatan Mem Zayin, Close to Magen Avraham, but he says, I didn't mention in the text of the Mishnah Berurah the din of pina mimechem lamechem. Mishum deb'ilav hachi yeshdeus shemakilim mimechem sheni, ayin betosvos v'ran. So as it is, according to Tosvos, the whole nidon isn't really relevant. The whole nidon pina mimechem lamechem is only where it's nitzanein, where we're machmeran anyway. So according to Tosfos, there's no real added chumrah of pina mimechem lemechem. According to the Ran, it's also only relevant in limited situations. Akein lefinistayti pashut, tiyishlis machalam lakim v'bayuzuz. Mishavur thinks that you have the right to be mekel, at least, so let's say we'll assume like Tosfos, that basically limits the practical application of pina mimechem lemechem. So that's going to be relevant over here. Let's say I want to avoid the problem of hagasa by pouring water into the chalim pot al ish. I want to avoid the potential basa b'chalav problem of pouring from the urn into the pot. So what will I do? I'll pour water from the urn into a cup, and while the water is still boiling hot, I will pour the water from the cup into the chalim pot that's al ish. So that's this question of pina mimechem lemechem. So it sounds like according to the Mishnah Berurah, that would be mutter. According to the Magen Avraham, that would be aser. Says footnote mem tes in Shmir Shabbos from Second Noam. Le'inyan lishvach mayim min adud l'sof kos v'lidnam l'kedera medes al gabe eish shamati from Shalom Zalmin. The after Shavai Lahachmir. The cave under the Pina Mimechem Lamechem Pasim Magen Avraham Le'Isser Virakim Mishabura Machri Leheter Near the Ein Lahos of Aldevarav Lo Shari Elalite Me'amechem Ome El Gabi Eish Letoch Kedera Shemami El Gabi Eish Avalan Ira Be'emsa Es Kli Letoch HaKedera after the chashiv kiniyach lagabe karka, the aser. Ashuv arul Yerushalmi zalmin, afa pikein after the mikaveh the mutter lahamin ala eishes akos im amayim shaba. Lamistaver klal aser lahaber samayim ayde iroi l'tocha kideira shala eish. Meaning, everyone would agree, you could take the why is that clear? Why is that so? The kos is still no. Why is that still pina mechem mechem shemachmer? So I'm not sure what he means by that. But then he says anyway, according to Tosfos and the first day in the Ran, pina lemechem kar is the only problem. So then on that, Mishabu says he can make a lot. So the line of wine, Rosh Hashanah says, it's not pasha to aser. But he's not so quick to be matir either. Orcha Shabbos is makel on this, but Rabbi Eider is machmir, Rabbi Karp is machmir, Rabbi Shechter is machmir, Rabbi Will is machmir, that we are concerned about pina mimecham lemecha. So Rabbi Karp thinks that the best eitzah to get out of the majority of these problems is if you remove the pot from the flame, the Tanai Yatsara, is you're removing it from the flame and holding it, and then pouring directly from the urn into the pot, so there's no Agasa concern, there's no Pinam and Mechel and Mechel concern, the only potential concern is a Basra Chalav concern, and then if you hold it at enough of a distance, that should presumably obviate the Basra Chalav concern. No.
Can you explain the solution? I just missed it. The solution that's offered, how that solves more issues, and how it's a peanut mechel mechel problem. I missed that whole.
How it's not a peanut mechel mechel problem.
How it might be a peanut mechel mechel problem. Meaning somehow, if you have a cup, that's
no. If you're gonna pour from the urn into a cup and pour from the cup into the pot, that's peanut mechel mechel.
Because the water is going from mechel mechel.
Right.
Okay.
The question is, are we machmir that? That's machlokas
haboskim. And why would that help? Meaning, why is that better? Aside from that issue, then...
That's worse.
Meaning it just solves the Basra Chalav problem?
What does?
Using
a cup would solve the Agasa problem if you remove it from the flame.
Okay.
Meaning whether it's on the flame or off the flame, you have the same Pinam Mechon problem with the cup. But if it's off the flame, it would... Then you wouldn't have the Agasa problem, and you wouldn't have the Basra Chalav problem. Right.
Isn't still pina mechel mechel without a cup? Meaning you're still...
Say it again?
Isn't still pina mechel mechel without a cup? Because you're pouring it from...
No, pina mechel mechel is you're pouring from...
If I take the chalom pot out of the...
No,
pot.
Pina mechel mechel is I pour it from mechem A to mechem B, and then I put mechem B on the flame.
Okay, so...
Here you're pouring it directly into the kli. That's not pina mechel mechel.
So I'm going to put the chalom pot back into the crock pot thing. Meaning it's going to take out the chalom... Because I'm going to take out the
chalon
from the crock pot,
right?
And then I'm going to pour water in it.
Right. So that's a problem. Right. So if we're mechem, that's a problem.
So even without a kos.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not understanding you.
But if I pour water from the urn into the chalon,
right,
and then I put the chalon back on to a flame, so isn't that going to make a mechem? Because I poured it from the urn into a different mechem, and then I'm putting that on that under the nachazah.
No, and not then moving it to pina mechem mechem requires two actions of movement of a kli. So if I'm pouring from the urn into the pot, that I'm pouring from the urn into Kli A, and then I'm pouring from Kli A into Kli B.
I thought regular hafzor is if I have like a pot of water on the fire and I take it off the fire.
Right.
And then I'm allowed to put that back.
If you have all the hafzor, right.
So
Pino Mechlamekum is saying that, well, maybe if there's a Kli in the middle, then Balashi Rishono, or that's like Nizil Gabikarka, and then I can't proceed and put it back on.
But here the water is in a Kli on the fire, and then I'm pouring into a different Kli, and I'm going to put that Kli back on the fire. So why is that not Pino Mechlamekum? I mean, the only way it wouldn't be Pino Mechlamekum shouldn't be like if I somehow took the urn off the fire part of the urn, and I put that back. I mean, that's not possible. When I pour water out of the urn into a pot, that's one action.
I'm not putting it in a middle kli and then putting that kli al ish.
So that if I pour water into a kosh and then I just want to put that kosh right back into the urn, that for sure is fine.
Yes, I think it's the extra step. Okay. So the best solution is to put the exact right proportion of water in your chalon before Shabbos to avoid it burning up. Okay. Easier said than done. Yeah, we still haven't gotten it exact. Fine, let's move on now to the third of the Derabbanan Bishul trilogy, and that is the Sugya of Azmana. Gabe.
Sorry, one last thing. So if a person had, let's say, or totally okay with their urn being fleshic,
right?
So then there'd be no problem to take the chalent out of the pot and then pour in the water.
Take the chalent out of the pot?
Take the chalent pot out of the crackpot thing.
Right.
And put it underneath the urn.
As long as you're not meniach agave kark or the equivalent, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. The Gemara has on daf lamedal and aleph. In the middle of the Ben Hashmash, so yeah. Three lines in the bottom, two dots. Amar Rava, Mivneima Amru Ein Tomnin Bidavar She'enu Mosif Hevel Nishech HaShecha. Why is there a Dinder Rabbanan that you're not allowed to insulate in a substance that doesn't add Hevel once Shabbos begins? And even though it's Eino Mosif Hevel, there's still an Isser Hatmana. Zera Shema Yarsiach. Okay, we'll come back to that. Amar Le Abayi, Hachi Ben Hashmashis Na'ami Nigzer. So if that's the case, why aren't we worried during Ben Hashmashis as well? Amar Le, Stam Kidei Rizos, when Shabbos begins, the presumption is that your kedera is sufficiently roseach, now we're not worried. Shema yarsiach. The Amar Rava, the name of Amru ain't told them the davar hamosif hevel, afil v'yom. You're not allowed to do a man or something that's mosif hevel even on erev Shabbos. Zera shema yamin beremetz sheyesh b'gachelas, lest you come to do a mana in remetz. Rashi says efer meura bebichalim, ashes mixed with coals. So what? What's the wrong with doing that? The Yamin. So let's say you are Mamuramas, who cares? Zera Shem Yechata B'Gachalim. No, we're worried there. You may come to be Mechata B'Gachalim. So the Gemara here introduces two flavors of Hatmana. It's reflected in the Mishnah, the beginning of Bemet Tomnin, but here the Gemara outlines it, Memers of Rabbah, clearly. There are two flavors of the Yisra Hatmana. On Shabbos itself, it's usher to be at mamin even in davar hamamin hevel, even if it's not mosif hevel. It doesn't add hevel, it just preserves the level of hevel. And before Shabbos, you're not allowed to be mamin, even you're not allowed to be mamin in a davar ha mosif hevel. So let's look at those two separately for the moment. As far as number one, you can't do admanu v'davar she'ena mosif hevel on Shabbos proper. Shema gzeira shema yarsiach. What's the concern? So says Rashi, Misha Hashecha, gzeira shema yimsa kideiraso shenitztanana. Kisha yirsa let mina. What's going to happen? You're coming to do atmana Friday night, which perfectly legitimate minatora. But we're worried that you're going to come to the kedera, and lo and behold, it cooled off the yarsichena tchila, and you're going to light it up now. The nimsa mevasha b'shabbos. Then you're going to end up doing an act of a bishul. So it sounds like if we're worried nimsa mevasha b'shabbos, then the concern should only be with something that is subject to bishul. But if something was nisvasha kol tzarcho, if something already was nisvasha to the point that there's no subsequent bishul exposure in Shabbos, ein bishul achar bishul, then this gzeira you would expect should not apply. If you're only worried that you may come to be mevasha. But in other Rishonim, it's clear that's not the case. That the Isra of Eman on Shabbos v'davar ha mamid hevel applies even by davar yavish in esvasha kol tzarcho. For example, the Rashba mem amid beis divar maskel mechlal dvarim elu. Mem amid beis divar maskel mechlal dvarim elu. The nirin advarim she'asir lahadmin mishech hashecha afilu tavshah she'nesbashu chol tzarcho afilu b'darish einu mosif. The Yisra Atmana Friday night applies even for a darayavish she'nesbashu chol tzarcho, even on something that's only ma'amin hevel, not mosif hevel. Dibapirkin b'met tomnin b'met'in tomnin b'stam tavshilin shanoi. The suyas are stumos. There's no indication in the Gemara's presentation of Atmana of any distinction between the spashal, non the spashal, mesam gefalam, mesam gralo. Sounds like it's an across the board gzeira that you're not allowed to do an act of Atmana, irrespective of the state of the food item in question. The fliga of a pirk and the hach of the ilan mile the inyan shioi below fliga of who gabi amana shmami lo shahaki lalamaser. When it comes to shihia, there we did see distinctions between nisvatik and sarfana. We don't find that by amana. So Rama thinks that amana is aser across the board, irrespective of the bishul status. Now it is true that Tosos, there's machlokes among the Bali Tosos, the opening Gemara in Bemet Tomnin, Mzayin of Abayz, first Tosos in Parak, bottom of Mzayin of Abayz. So there you have machlokes among the Bali Tosos, whether there's an Isra Atmana B'Kedera Chaisa, whether there's an Isra Manav in Esvashe Kabacham and Dusai. So there you have the possibility that maybe the Isra Manav on Shabbos does not apply when it comes to something that is not subject to subsequent Bishul. So there is such an opinion in the Bali Tosfos, but that's not accepted of the Halacha. As the Mishabur writes, we are now in Simon Reishon and Zion. So Mishabur writes, Reishon and Zion, Sivkata and Lamed Hay. Rama quotes this day in the Bali Tosas as a Yesh Makilim. And the Mechaber writes in Siv Zayin, Kol Hechad Asvina Nadmana Afil Bukhdeir Mubushal, let's call it Sarko Asvina Afil Mustam Grala. So wherever Adman is Asr, it's Asr even Nisvash Got Sarko, even Sam Grala. Says Rama Vachenikar, the Yesh Makilim, the Omrim, the Kol Shukhai, the Gamri, and Nisvash Got Sarko, Mutter Badmana, Kamobashihoi. He quotes his Yesh Makilim, the day in the Bali Tosos, that there's no Isra Admanim in his Vashakot Sarcho, Kedera Chaisa, or the like. Rama says, if you already have a Minog, we won't bother you, but if you're starting from scratch, you should be Machmir. Says Mishabura, Sifkatan Lamid Hay. Mishabura says that Yesh Makilim, that day HaMakilim Bali Tosos, that's only B'davar HaMosif Hevel on Friday. But B'davar HaMamid Hevel on Shabbos, he thinks that everyone, of course, in the Prima Gazim there, everyone would agree that we're concerned about Hatmana. Why is that so? So he writes in Sharet Siyun Lamed Vav for the Prima Gazim, Ta Tam Shema Yimsa Kedei Rasa Tzonenes V'yar Sichena. So that's what we just saw in the Gemara and Rashi. It sounds like the concern is not simply one of Bishol, but one of Havara. That is not just, it's not, the concern is, you may, if you see it cools off, you may come to be marsiach, it means to ignite, not just to cook. So even where there's no bishul, there's still a concern of havara, shema yarsiach. The Rush, incidentally, Perek Gimel Siman Yud Aleph, understands in Rashi, we had discussed this earlier in Rashi, that Rashi holds Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal B'davar Lach, and Rashi's concern of Bishal by Nisvash Kol Tzarcho is only B'davar Lach. But he thinks in a Chanami, according to Rashi, there would be no concern about mana, even on Shabbos, by a davar yavesh and a spash of kol tzarcho. But again, that's not the psach mekubal. That's not what's reflected in Shulchan Aruch, and not what's reflected lemaisa in the Rama. The Ritva has an additional consideration, an alternate consideration. What are we worried about when it comes to Mamid Hevel on Shabbos? The Ritva Lamed Hesem and Aleph Yirah Maskel Kol Shabbat L'Chamin. So he has this possibility that the Rush has, that maybe there's a difference between Davar Yavish and Davar Lach. He rejects that. He says Hanochon Be'enai the Hasam Hu Aydeya or Mamish the Mechzikim of Asha. That the concern when it comes to Adman on Shabbos with Davar Mamid Hevel is one of Mechzikim of Asha. So the Shema Yarsichena, the way the Ritva understands, is you're going to see that it's cooling off. And we're not worried you're going to light a fire. We're worried that you're going to place it on the existing fire to heat it up. And that's a problem of Mechzikim of Ashel, even if the food item itself is already in this Ashel called Tzarcho. So again, reading Rashi in a vacuum, initially it sounds like the concern over here of Shem Yosef is one of Bishul. It was one of Bishul. It should only be relevant to something subject to Bishul, not in the Spash of Tzarcho and the like. It happens to be the Rush understood Rashi that way. And the Risa Chadei and Bali Tosus, although the Mishabura quotes maybe that day it isn't talking about Hanman on Shabbos, only Hanman on Erev Shabbos. In which case, the concern of Shema Yar Sichen is not what Abishal, but one potentially of Havara. And the Ritva indicates that the concern is one of Nafsi Kimavash. You're going to place it closer to the fire, on the fire, and even if it's already Nisbachikal Sarkhan outside of Abishal, there's a problem of Shema, of Nafsi Kimavash. And the Rush himself says that when the Gemara says Shema Yarsiach, it really means Shema Yachata. And just as the Gemara tells us when it comes to Davar HaMosif Hevel and Erev Shabbos, that's also because of Shema Yachata, Mamin Hevel and Shabbos also is also Shema Yachata. So why does the Gemara say Shema Yarsiach? The Gemara knows that it says Shema Yachata V'Gachalim. Why does it say Shema Yarsiach? Says the Rush, the high denokat harsacha, davar hatsarich lahatamana nakat. Because harsacha is the terminology that you would use in the context of hatmana. We're talking about insulating, we're not talking about leaving something on the flame or cooking. So harsacha is a more appropriate term in the context of hatmana to reflect the same idea of shema yichate. That's all as far as the Isser of Hatmana Vidavar Hamamid Hevel on Shabbos. What about part two, member two, that Davar Mosif Hevel is Usser even on Erev Shabbos? And the Gemara has two stages of consideration. Shema Yamin Baramet Shesh Bagachelas. Maybe we're going to do Hatmana in this kind of mixture of coals and ashes. And that is going to lead to Shema Yechate B'Gachal. So what's the relation between those two stages? Says the Rambam Perush HaMishnayos, V'ulai tikshe b'chlal she'etzleinu v'hu ein gozrin zeiru l'gzeira. So doesn't it sound like a gzeiru l'gzeira? Number one, we're worried Shema Yamin B'Remetz, which in of itself would be okay, but if you're mamim v'remez, maybe you'll come to be mechata. Isn't that a gzeira l'gzeira? Da, shezesh ha'amru in gozim gzeira l'gzeira, hu kigon sheyigzor bezdin eizu gzeira beizus man, v'yachzor achagach v'yigzor gzeira lo z'gzeira, v'zeh she'in osin, v'zeh she'in osin. So to make a gzeira now, and then another gzeira 10 years from now, that's a problem. Aval, im hayu shtei gzeiros be'eis achas mutter, that the two gzeiros are part of a package simultaneously promulgated, that's mutter. Zev she'osin tamid, it always works like that. Zev inyan amram kulachad gzeirot. When we say kulachad gzeira, it's a function of context, of packaging. Kolomar shemi shegazer gzeirazu ra shelos hiskayim gzeirazu el gzeira charis yitachazik osav etismachema. So where is the package?
Excuse me.
Where does Chazal see that one won't have a keen without the other, and they go to both together? So that's considered kula chadigzera. That's an ilaf halo kaimaha, and that is acceptable. Tosis read as well. Lamadala and mevez zera shema yamin beremetz perish v'loa v'gzera l'gzera. The remez ones are machmas davar acher el time of asmo shema yichata hilkach kigas mina kol mosif hevel mishum remez liyikur gzeir l'gzeir. It's all part of the same deal, all part of the same package. Now the reason we're concerned about remez is because of shema yichata v'gachalim.
The reason why Chazal are in gozer gzeir is because Chazal won't be gozer gzeir, so you don't come to do another gzeir. So why would it matter? Like if they were gozer them together or separate, or is it like a different reason?
So it's not a it's the way the Rambam presents it, it's not a function of the time, but the time sheds light on the nature of the Zera. It's because where Chazal see that if you're not going to have the accompanying Zera, the first Zera won't get off the ground, it won't have any key, it won't have any effect. So that's considered, that's kula chad gzeri. That only makes sense, or that only works if it's all done at the same time, because the fact it's done at the same time is what indicates that it's kula chad gzeri.
Wait, so in this case, like, because I counted upon this case.
So the Shema Yam, if we would have just said you can't do at mana because we're worried you're going to insulate beremets, so then people would have. If we would have just said that you. The reason you can't be mamen beremes is you may come to be mechate begachal. So, if we just said you can't do admana because we like to do admana, you may be mamen beremes. Now it's true that if you're mamen beremes in and of itself, it's not a problem per se, but if you're mamen beremes, you may come to be mechate begachal. So we tell you, you can't be Ma'amin Beremes, not because Ma'amin Beremes, you can't be Ma'amin, because you may come to be Ma'amin Beremes, not that Ma'amin Beremes per se is a problem, but if you like to be Ma'amin Beremes, then you may come to be Mechad B'Gachal. So, it would have made, there would have been no Harvacha that just make it say, you can't do Admana unless you come to be Ma'amin Beremes, without saying that the reason you can't be Ma'amin Beremes is because Shem Mechad B'Gachal. It's all one package.
I understand how it's one, meaning it's still saying you can't do A because if you do A, then you might come, and there's no issue with doing A, but you
right.
come to B.
No, you can't do A because you may come to B. There's no issue with B either.
Yeah, right.
You can't do B because you may come to do C.
So what does it matter?
So it wouldn't, there would have been no...
This means to the now.
So if we would have said, if we couldn't have said, you can't do Amman because you may come to B'chad to B'chalim, because what does one have to do with the other? That's too far removed. But ultimately, we are worried that you may come to be Chatur Chalim, so we formulated it as you can't do a mamon because then you may come to be Mamon Beremetz, which in of itself should have been okay, but if you're Mamon Beremetz, you're worried, then you may come to be Chatur Chalim.
So I'm saying either we're concerned for that sort of like tertiary step down the line or whatever, or
right.
like either we're concerned for like two steps down the line. And then in which case you should be able to be Gozer Xero Xero, or
well, that's what we're saying. We are. The reason you could be Gozer Xero Xero here is because it's one package, because Ilaf HaLokai Maha, that is all part of the same presentation. No?
Not to understand.
We're only. Ultimately, we're worried about Shami Yechad Begachalim. But I couldn't have said you can't do admana b'chla because shem yichad, because that's too far removed. So I say you can't do admana because you may come to be man b'remetz, but if you're man b'remetz, then you can't do because you may come to be chad b'chol.
I understand that, like, you present it in that way. I guess I'm just saying, like, if we're concerned that, like, doing hatmana is going to eventually lead towards being mechad b'chol, so then... If that is a direct concern, so then it should be like presented as a direct concern. If it's like an indirect concern, in that, right, you'll be Ma'amin Beremetz, and then that'll lead to Yichata B'Yachalim, so then that is the same thing as if there was already like a Gzeira out there of you can't be Ma'amin Beremetz. And then we're saying that don't be Ma'amin at all because you'll come to be Ma'amin Beremetz. Like, that'll be the same. It'll be the same concern that Chazal are having.
Did you want to address that?
Yeah. What's Rambam just saying in Achinam? I mean, Rambam is saying that we have no problem with going zero zero if it's all b'vas achas.
Well, that's what he's saying, but he's explaining why. saying because that's ilaf hadlo kaimahot, that if you're not going to have the whole package, then there won't be any key into the zera.
Yeah, because I mean, Chazal are trying to prevent people from being mechatlo at all, and the only way they can see to do that right now is to be goes on all hatmanim but most of havel ad rafam brevet to atu shem mechatlo kolim. In Hanami, if there would have been a zera of showing off of being mechatlo brevet right now that people were not listening to, Chazal would not get involved at that point, just be kind of zero.
Why would that be, like, logically, why would that be any different? Why would that be any more of a preventative measure?
Because Chazal only get involved to try to address the rights of issues. So if there's currently a rights of issue, we're going to try to address it in the best way possible. So if that means making a bigger zero, then we'll do that. But if we already have a zero of mounting grievance, so then people are not listening to that. But that's a durability issue. So Chazal are not going to get involved to fix that.
Okay, I think I hear where you're coming from, Ezra. I think there's a better way of formulating it. Okay, we'll stop here for today. Mirz Hashem, Sunday we will pick up with the sugya. If you haven't yet done so, take a look at the Rif, who has Gir Safuka Gemara, which is the base of the Rambam, and we'll try to discuss that approach we showed him, and then move on to discuss this Lahalacha. Okay, the plan, I hope, is to finish on Mana in the next two Shiurim and then move on to Ritz Rechitza. I was about to say Ritzicha, but Rechitza. We'll get to Shochet later. And then Gozes. Okay, and as you saw, Rav Shachter Mirz Hashem on Monday. I probably won't be here Monday, but Monday at 3 we'll give a Shira on Shehi of Al-Zara.
Here.
Okay?
Are we doing a Shira Monday?
Say again?
We don't know if
she's with. No, we almost never do.
Oh, yeah.
Mirz Hashem will be next on Sunday. Attendance last Sunday was pretty.